Children's book author Angela Dominguez was born in Mexico City, but grew up in the United States. Her childhood was in many ways shaped by that blending of cultures. And Stella Diaz has something to say. She created a story that embraces the unique perspectives every kid experiences, including immigrant children.
So often I feel immigrants kind of want to shrink and hide. And I don't, you know, seeing that in a child is so upsetting to me. I want them to have pride in themselves of not only of who they are as a person, but also their culture as well.
The character of Stella Diaz is based on Angela's childhood. We'll talk to the author about her experiences as an introspective kid, including a naturalization celebration in her elementary school, and when she discovered the beauty of school libraries. I'm Andrew Kaufman, and this is The Strategist, presented by the George W. Bush Presidential Center. Welcome to Angela Dominguez, the author of the acclaimed Stella Diaz series of books for kids. She started with Stella Diaz Has Something to Say, then Stella Diaz Never Gives Up, which was on last year's Mrs. Bush's reading list for kids. We're thrilled it was on it. And her latest book in the series is Stella Diaz Dreams Big. Angela, thanks for joining us to talk about these books.
Thank you for having me.
And welcome back to our co-host today, the esteemed Ann Wicks, the Ann Kimball Johnson Director of Education Reform at the Bush Institute. Ann, thanks for doing this again. Kind of on short notice. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Hey, Andrew. Hi, Angela.
So we kind of mentioned, we talked about Stella Diaz there in the intro. Angela, why don't you tell us about the series, who it's targeted to, what was on your mind as you were writing it, and how it ties into who you are?
So initially with the first Stella, I was trying to make it a picture book, and I just thought about a funny situation of a shy girl being at an aquarium whose whole day is ruined because there's a kid from school that she's too shy to talk to. So instead of enjoying the exhibits, she keeps running away from them all day. And I pitched that idea and worked on it for a while, but the kind of the feedback I got was that it wasn't clear why Stella was shy. And it also felt like maybe it wasn't really timely for like picture book either. And so as I started thinking about Stella, I started thinking about why I was shy growing up. And a lot of it was because technically English is my second language. I took speech classes until third grade. And so like often, like many authors do with your first book, you put a lot of yourself in there because you know your experiences, and you know what to draw from. And so it started with that idea. But then as I finished the first book, I started realizing that a lot of kids could relate to the idea of being shy, being from somewhere else, speaking another language. And then they were also so excited by all the marine animal facts as well. So she's developed and grown. There's still a lot of me in that character, but as she's developed, she's more of an activist for the oceans. She's taking even more on dealing with what it means to be overscheduled. So I think it started with myself, and then it's thinking about what kids are dealing with, especially kids who are in elementary school and starting to step out and really form their own personalities and starting to figure out what they really are passionate about. And then also maybe that how it feels to have too much on your plate too. So I really feel like for kids, I maybe are like from third grade to like sixth grade.
What is your background? What are your roots?
So I was born in Mexico and we moved to the United States when I was about 2 years old, a little bit under, and grew up in the United States. My mom spoke full English, so did my dad. My parents divorced when I was young and my mom had to support us. And because we had been here already for our first year, she decided that we should stay in the United States. And so I grew up here. My brother had to take ESL classes. I didn't personally. I just had to take speech classes until third grade.
Angela, I always like your books. I love reading them because it's like talking to a little kid, right? Mm-hmm. You can sort of see how their brain works. I'm a parent. It was funny. I was reading that and I have a six-year-old son and I can like the things that he thinks about, like this mix of animal facts plus like these emotional situations is like a perfect capture, honestly, of a little kid, because I think so much of what they're, how kids learn is like, they like try it on, right? You try on a costume, a book is a different way to try on somebody. And you're like, oh, I understand. Like I can see this. I can build some empathy because I get what that little boy or little girl is talking about. You know, is that, and I just have always, I love that about books and literature for kids in general, but I felt that very keenly, I think, in the books that you write. And when you're writing now, I know you talked about your first book, obviously there was a lot of you and Stella, but do you have a kid in mind or someone in mind when you start to write? Like, what gets you started in your process?
Well, I think I often honestly think about myself and what amuses me, and I have to think it's humorous for me to kind of continue going with it. But I also think about all those kids that I meet when I do school visits and their reactions and their input and feeling like what they're interested in, what they're excited about. And the fact, like yesterday I did a school visit and the kid was like, you should write a book about a kid who has a pet shark. You know, and then I just think about exactly like Stella and how that is a kid that would 100% love that book. So it's a little bit still from myself, but also the interaction I have with kids and the school visits, whether it's in person or virtually.
That's a great way to shop ideas, is like to ask the kids what you should write about. they'd be like wildly creative in ways you're like, yeah, I never thought about that.
So Angela, we're at the Bush Institute right now. We're really starting to focus a lot on immigration reform and talk and having a conversation around not just immigration policy, but the experience of immigrants that are coming to the United States to build that better life. And the Stella series really introduces that concept in some interesting ways. What struck me reading the first one was it really articulated an interesting concept. Well, and that is as a kid that is an immigrant, they might feel, Stella kind of felt like she had no home and that she was too young to remember where she was born. But at the same time, in the US, she was labeled a quote alien. She mm-hmm. felt different from the people around her. Is that something you were acutely aware of when you were a child, or is it more something you look back on now as an adult?
I definitely was aware of it. Like similar to Stella in third grade, I remember seeing like these images on the wall that said, this is a alien, illegal, an illegal alien. This is a permanent resident. This is a U.S. citizen. And finding out what those terms meant and realizing that I was just an alien. And so it was very shocking. And so I remember thinking how scary it was and not being able to talk to people. And I remember once or twice I did mention to someone, and then those kids stopped talking to me. And so I just remember how upsetting that was. And like, we were always here legally, but we came on my mom's student visa. Then she got a work visa, and I didn't get my green card till I was 14 years old. So nobody knew that. And I was afraid to tell people that. And I think that that is big motivation of why I included that in the story, because I think that there's a lot of kids that feel like that similarly. And I want them to know that it's not something to be ashamed of. So often I feel immigrants kind of want to shrink and hide. And I don't, you know, seeing that in a child is so upsetting to me. I want them to have pride in themselves of not only of who they are as a person, but also their culture as well. And I think a big reason I do it also is because this is what I would have loved to have seen as a kid. And so the fact that I get to do that for kids today is just like an amazing thing to me.
And we had talked previously about how important representation is in these works.
Seeing yourself, even it's not an exact reflection of yourself, but seeing something, you go, oh, right. You recognize when you read something, it's that moment of recognition. And it could be about a lot of things. But what a critical boost that is for young kids who are just discovering the world, right? Everything. I think it's so easy as grownups. We forget, jaded and cynical. Right? Like we kind of know the world surprises us sometimes, but most of the time we kind of know, you know, and mm-hmm. kids every day, you're like, what? Like the world is kind of a surprising place in good and bad ways. And I just, I like that. I like that, you know, in part of this book, you're talking about the bully, she encounters a bully. And mm-hmm. I think kids have such this keen sense of justice, right? Kids like have a very clear sense of justice. And I'd love you to like talk a little bit about sort of that piece of the story and how you developed it and what you were thinking about.
So I was never bullied in the same way that Stella was. This Jessica character is like a little bit of several personas. And to give like a clear conflict, I made it this one bully. But I was also thinking about how often, again, kids don't want to talk about if they're being bullied. They feel, again, very embarrassed by it. So she learns to deal with it by actually speaking up, and her mother also recognizes what's going on and she's able to talk to her about it. So I think it's the letting kids know, especially young kids, that you need to talk to someone. It's okay to get this additional help from an outside force, because just letting yourself be bullied is not acceptable either. And so with the first book, Jessica is like the main bully. In the third book, we have a new bully, and it's about the dynamics of boys and girls. Again, knowing to reach out to a teacher in that instance and having the teacher like step in that situation.
So when I read it, what struck me, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, I thought it was interesting that Jessica didn't bully Stella about her ethnicity or her culture or her skin color. She really focused on her shyness, which really had nothing to do with, there was connection to her shyness and her feeling of not fitting in, but the bullying wasn't specifically about the cultural differences. Was that a conscious decision, or am I reading too much into that?
You know, I was trying to portray what was my experience. And honestly, because I have fairer skin, a lot of people didn't recognize the fact that I was actually from somewhere else until maybe they met my mom and they're like, wow, your mom has an accent. And I would be like, no, she doesn't. That's just my mom. So I think I was just writing what I knew. And that's why I focused more on that. And I think, like, again, it's like that perception that shyness is weakness. And it's not the case. You know, being an introvert just means that you're processing things and observing. And oftentimes, so much is going on. It's just going on in inside, not so much on the outside.
And it highlights too, just the power of language that the kids do really keenly sense. Like you mentioned that you remember being called illegal, and Stella remembers being called alien. What can we do as a society to ameliorate some of the hurt that can come from words?
Well, I think by being open about it and actually talking about the subject, especially in front of kids, kids repeat what they hear. So if they're hearing negative things at home or racial like terminology at home, they're going to repeat it. So if at school it's an open dialogue and you actually talk about these are the situations that kids are going through without judgment, it's going to make kids have a different perception of what it is. Because I definitely heard a lot of things growing up that were insensitive, you know, very stereotypical about Mexicans. And I just hate the idea of a kid today now having to grow up and deal with that in school as well.
Andrew, I mean, you grew up as a bilingual child.
Yeah, I did. You know, I really kind of chuckled very early on in the first book. Stella kind of pokes fun at the way her mom says spaghetti, which is exactly how my mom, and I remember kind of poking fun at my mom and how she said spaghetti. Because yeah, my mom is from Peru. So it was the same thing where she grew up speaking English to me and I grew up speaking English, but I was surrounded by Spanish, which I think was made for an interesting experience. And are you hoping to see more and more bilinguality in children's literature? Like, was that a conscious decision to try and include that more?
Definitely. I feel like growing up, I didn't see that in books. You know, it is out there now, but it's such a small part of the market. And you'll see it more in like the classroom setting. But I want to put it out there so that's like broad, so that everyone can kind of see how people who speak two languages, you know, really speak, which is like they're just going back and forth, and you can call it Spanglish or code switching or whatever Correct. You want to call it. But so I wanted a realistic depiction. And not only that, like Stella, they had me really just focus on English growing up. So my Spanish, I just never had the words that I wanted to say and express myself, but I understood it perfectly. So I just kind of feel like if we encourage kids to be proud of their bilingualism, they're more likely to continue speaking it, because it's way harder to learn another language when you're older. I've been taking Spanish classes as an adult, and my Spanish has improved and I can have more conversations, but I'm still reserved. Like, I'm not going to go strike up a conversation with a stranger. I can do a family, but not a stranger. And so I wish that all kids would just realize what amazing gift they have right now and just continue that their entire life. Because I meet kids who say, I don't want to speak Spanish because they just want to fit in. So if you tell them that it's actually a very cool thing to have, then they're more likely to continue it the rest of their life.
That's exactly what I felt. I was embarrassed when my mom would speak Spanish. Like, we're in America. We need to speak English. And I wish I could go back and just kind of whack young me on the head. Be like, no, this is awesome. And you need to embrace it.
Okay. Can I switch gears and talk about your art a little bit? Because I love your illustrations. I'm always really intrigued by children's illustrations and sort of how you come at it. And I find yours are really inviting and sort of delightful and inviting in a way. And I wonder if you could just talk about like how, when you think about starting to illustrate for your stories, how do you do it? How does it come to you? How do you organize how you connect the story and the pictures that you are creating?
So I started as an illustrator first before I got into writing. So I've always been like visually inclined. But working on Stella is different because it's not like a picture book where the two are so, you can't separate one without the other.
Right.
So I think what I choose to illustrate in there are those moments where are great reactions of Stella, and particularly with the first one where she's like flipping out or super shy or super roja. And that's always just so much fun to draw. And then also to always think about how I can include a fun marine animal in there as well, because that's the thing that I feel is a very attractive to kids as well. So it's, I think as I write it, I kind of make a little notepad, like a little note on there saying like, okay, this would be really fun to draw. Or I'd be like, this is really important. I feel like I need to draw this. And so that's kind of what, so the words lead what I ultimately end up deciding to draw. And then the covers are just so much fun because I work with a really great designer who comes up with the text design. And then we figure out how to fit Stella and some sort of fun marine animal in there. And yeah, and I love the little word bubbles. It was just kind of, I did it on a whim with the first one, and then doing them with everyone since has been like so much fun to do.
Yeah, I know we have the books behind you on the shelf. I was just pulling them up on my phone and looking at them all together because it's fun to sort of see all of them. I have no artistic talent, and it's another thing, linguistic and artistic. I'm amazed because it really enhances the storytelling. And I think it makes a difference, particularly about kids, if they're drawn to pick up a book, even if, as you said, these are not picture books designed for our youngest readers where the pictures and the stories are sort of hand in hand, but like what makes them, sort of look at this book and pick it up and think, oh, I want to check this out or sort of get into this story. And I don't know. There's like a friendliness to your illustrations that I was really struck by, that I can see where kids would make me happy as a kid to look at it and want to read more.
Thank you. I think it's such a category of the first time that they're really reading independently. So you need to those pictures make it a little less daunting to read a whole book by yourself for the first time. But I would hope that the content could also attract those kids who are maybe a little bit older who are also reading well on their own, but would still be entertained with the fact that it has pictures.
Yes, it's a tough needle to thread. Yeah. I think you've threaded it.
So we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up Ms. Morales from the Stella series, because the Bush Institute is also the home of the Laura Bush Foundation for America's Libraries. And Ms. Morales makes a brief appearance when Stella visits the library, and she very quickly can point Stella exactly to this book that really makes her imagination grow. Was there a Ms. Morales in your life? Is she real?
So I don't remember the name of my librarian in elementary school, but I absolutely adored her. And she did have a stuffed goose that and I just remember first grade loved it, sixth grade not into it anymore. But I loved the library. I love that I could get any book on any subject that I would like. And she would point me out to like biographies because I was obsessed with them at that age. And then when I had the opportunity in sixth grade to work as a library aide, I was just like in heaven to be in there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was just like, I think that's where I learned that love of reading. Organization. I'm so into organization.
That's like you're describing like my dream elementary school job. Library aide, Andrew. The best.
What have we done with our careers?
This is just making me like wax rhapsodic in my brain about like beautiful children's libraries that I've been in over the years. And there's just something magical about the windows and the sunshine and enough fun things around. The great part about the Laura Bush Foundation for America's Libraries, a program we have a privilege to manage, is that we provide small grants to schools that are serving some of our most under-resourced communities. So like the school library budget is never going to be big. It could be the first thing that's cut in tight times. And it's really a privilege for us to be able to give small grants directly to these schools so that the principal and the librarian can update, refresh, or expand their collection. And it doesn't take much to make a real impact, really. Like, we don't have to give them $100,000 or $50,000. It can be smaller grants that really can help add books for these kids. And oftentimes these are kids who may not go home to like a bulging bookshelf of books at home, right? Like, they may really rely on their school library as the place to get books and a place that teachers use. And so it's really a privilege for us to get to manage that program. We'll soon this spring send out our next round of winners. And in this last application, I think we had applicants from just about every state around the country. And it's just really fun for us to get to know about these schools and hear from their librarians and principals about the role that the libraries and books play for their kids and send some new ones along the way.
Yeah, it's so important. I see a real difference in the schools because I do school visits from these private schools to all the way to Title I schools. And yeah. You just see a deficit in those Title I schools. Some of them are able to manage to get amazing books and have amazing librarians, but the ones that don't have it, it always just breaks my heart a little bit because I think those kids are missing out on a real opportunity.
And we really should thank you too, because sometimes it's not just about the books, but Ms. Morales, it was critical that she could very quickly get Stella to the right book. I think and pointing that out and say, look, there, this position, which isn't often well funded in a school, really is an important position if you can find a way to swing it.
Definitely. I mean, initially, when we first moved to the United States, especially like first years of elementary school, my mom didn't necessarily have the funds to go buy me new books. I went to my public library, my school library, and I love that I could check every single book I ever wanted and I could bring home an arms full of books. So to me, like, librarians are just incredible and they play such an important role. And they're the ones that have been my biggest advocates for books too, which makes me love them even more. So I just feel like it's important to portray them in the way that they really are.
I agree. And I love that Ms. Morales, didn't she have purple hair? Like, she's like the cool teacher, right?
Did the real Ms. Morales, I know one her name, but did she have purple hair too? Or did you invent that?
No, she had like the very 80s, early 90s, like puffy white hair, a little Ann Richards.
she got spiced up for the book, huh?
Right,
exactly. I love it.
This is always fun for us when we have authors on. Is what books influenced you as a kid in the Stella age range? Like, what were you reading?
Well, definitely Ramona by Beverly Cleary, the entire series.
Yep,
she is the girl that I wish that I was, or at least was my friend.
Yeah.
Judy Blume, of course. True Story, Three Little Pigs is one of my favorite books of all time. I just think it's so funny. And that put the idea of that this would be a very fun job to have as well. The Little House on a Prairie books.
Oh, yes.
I read so many books, Babysitter Club books as well. The biggest thing I think now seeing it as an adult is just that there were really no diverse characters at all. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to take the spirit of those books that I loved as a kid and now modernize it and make it more representational of the communities we live in.
It's funny. You mentioned Ramona, and I loved the Ramona books as a kid. And I remember at some point, I don't remember when, someone said, dude, those books are for girls. Why are you reading that? And even though I didn't personally see myself in Ramona, I still really enjoyed the books. Do you hope that people read Stella, even that aren't necessarily experiencing the same immigrant experience Stella is?
Definitely, because I think that there's enough kid appeal in different ways. You know, Stanley's obsessed with space. And so I feel like that could get the kids that love that. Kids who might be dealing with bullying, kids who just want to be more empathetic to other people as well and understanding. And then, of course, kids who love marine animals, which it seems like a lot of kids love marine animals. So I feel like there's enough in there for kids of all different types of backgrounds to be interested. I think they just need to be made aware that the book exists. And I am just so grateful that it feels like through this global read out loud that I was part of last year, I've gotten a lot of schools reaching out to me that saying they're going to do one book, one school, and they're reading it all together. And hearing that has just been like the greatest thing, because I think it doesn't just have to be for, you know, an immigrant. It can be for anyone.
I had someone gave my son a book about female athletes through history. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure. He's like all of a sudden been very big on like understanding there are boys and there are girls and girls, you know, he's like, I only play with the boys.
Good luck.
But he's been super into this book because it's all about like perseverance and like every one of them has this little mini arc where they encountered difficulty and they had to like win at the end. And he loves that about these stories. And I just think we just sometimes miss like what actually kids gravitate to is sort of these themes and a chance for them to imagine being a victor or like sort of, yes, I could do this and make my way through. That is really fun, you know, to watch kids do that. I really do think it's like they try on a shirt, you know, like I'm going to try this on and be this person today and see what that's like. And I think what a great experience for kids to practice doing that all the time, you know, and books give us such a great way to do it. And yours, I think, do in particular. It's really fun to read. What are you working on now? Are you working on something new?
I'm working on the fourth Stella. It's called Stella Diaz to the Rescue.
Oh, all right. You're going to rescue marine animals?
Well, in the book, she's going to become a citizen finally. So that is big story arcs. But then it's also about, you know, she suffers from the same syndrome that I do, where you want to fix all the problems and you kind of realize that you can't. And so it's her realizing her limitations and also when things don't go perfect. And so it's kind of a way for me to deal with the pandemic in a way, honestly, realizing like all these set plans that I had all of a sudden were canceled. And how do you deal with that? So it's a little bit more mature, you know. Stella's growing up; she's almost 10 years old now, so it's she's dealing with more. So that's been a lot of fun. And then I've been working on a few picture books, a bilingual book called "Tengo Hambre," which is "I'm hungry," and it's about a dinosaur who's hungry. and then another picture book that I'll be able to talk about more later.
We'll have you back to talk about that because we're excited. I'm excited to hear that Stella's gonna be a naturalized citizen. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, I became a citizen when I was 21, which was much later. And I remember what a big deal it was. And so I thought, and it's also just a beautiful experience too, that I wanted to give that to Stella so then kids could understand how significant it is and how meaningful it is to people.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Dawn, the custodian in the first book became a citizen during the book, and there was kind of, they have a ceremony for him in the school. Was that based off of something that happened to you in school?
Yes, Dawn, the custodian at Dale B. Davis Elementary School had a ceremony when I was, I don't know if it was third grade, but it was when I was definitely young.
It stuck with you.
It's such that learning what I was and then seeing that and then just having that direct comparison, it always did stick with me.
So I guess you mentioned you just come off a book tour. What's the like funniest question that a kid asked, or what's a question that a kid asked that really made you like, well, I never thought of that. Like, tell us a good story from that tour.
I get so many funny remarks and statements that
kids
because you know, often they give me suggestions what the next Stella should be about. I think my favorite, which was from a previous tour, It was for Maria Had a Little Llama, and they were telling me how I should do more books like that. So they were saying it should be Eduardo and his tiny little dinosaur. And and that always stuck with me. And I think that did influence the Tengo Hambre, because I was like, you know, I should do a book on a dinosaur. So those kids' suggestions do stick with me, and they make me laugh. I think my other favorite experience was just having a kid that asked me if I could go live with him.
Oh,
I'm surprised all the time. And I was like, no. And he knew it was not really appropriate to ask, but he still did. And he had like the biggest mischievous smile. So kids are just so funny. And I love interacting with them.
You will always be entertained.
Yeah.
Exasperated often, but right. Always entertained.
Well, Angela, thank you so much for spending this time with us this morning and telling us about Stella and her story. And we're stoked about the next one.
Oh, thank you. This was so much fun. It was nice to meet you all too.
Yes. Good luck. Good luck. Keep writing and drawing and putting out great books.
Well, make sure to check out the Stella Diaz series. The books are available everywhere. Her latest is Stella Diaz Dreams Big. Angela, thanks again for doing it.
Thank you.
Be sure to follow Angela on Twitter at Ann Dominguez, AnDominguez. You can also learn more about the Laura Bush Foundation for America's Libraries at www.laurabushfoundation.org. If you enjoyed this episode of The Strategist, please be sure to subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Be sure to tell us what you think on social media at The Bush Center. Thank you for listening.